in one of your friends. Maybe it's the best friend that you have in the whole world, and you heard a knock on the door, and you went and you answered that door, you would stop what you were doing to take time and spend with that individual who you care so much about. And yet and still, when God knocks at our door and he gives us an invitation to pray, we snub God, we look out the curtain, and we open the curtain, we peep out the window, and we say, oh, it's just God. I'm not going to open the door. I don't want him to know I'm in here. Maybe if I don't answer the door, he'll think that nobody's here and he'll leave.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Sin of Prayerlessness, which is based on 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Sin of Prayerlessness.
You know, I know if I'm a man, and I'm saying this, and God is God, how much more he's saying it, that he gave his son. Don't tell me that I don't know how to pray. You know, that's not going to fly anymore. You know, the days of us having an excuse, you know, to try to get out of things is over. Let's just be honest. You know, you don't want to pray. You're too busy to pray. You know, it's too much, going to inconvenience you too much. And yet and still, the main power source that we have, we are failing to connect with. The third thing, and I pray that this would speak to all of our hearts, because this is so true, and it's found throughout the scripture. Prayerlessness is a sin because it puts those around us at a disadvantage. What do I mean when I say that? What I'm saying is that when Samuel said that God forbid that I sin against him in failing to pray for you, he realized that if he didn't pray for the folk, then they would be at a disadvantage. That there would be things that would happen in their lives that would overwhelm them and overcome them because he wasn't praying for them. Oh my goodness, I wish I had that cordless mic this morning so I could walk, but I'm gonna stand right here and preach this thing anyways. The fact of the matter is that when you pray for other folks, that unleashes the power of God in their lives. Now, you might not ever see a change. You know, you might not see what you're looking to see. But every time you pray for a loved one, every time you pray for a coworker, every time you pray for a friend, what you are doing is you are unleashing the power of God in their lives. I remember I had a good friend, Brother Norman Givens, down in Lynchburg, Virginia. And his wife, she had got saved, and she was praying for him. She was praying for him, and he was out there, he was on drugs, he was running the streets, and one night, he was on the bus in New York City, and somebody came up to him and gave him a tract, and he read it, and that night on that bus, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Why did he do that? Because he had a praying wife. He had a wife that was interceding for him, and what did God do? God unleashed his power on her husband. He unleashed his power in sending somebody there with a tract. He unleashed his power by allowing the Holy Spirit to convict his heart right there on that bus. I had a minister that I licensed and ordained in Lynchburg, Virginia, Brother Lorenzo Ruff. His family would go to church every Sunday. Lorenzo drove around in a beige Corvette, just cruising the neighborhood. Oh, he was on top of the world. Nice job, nice clothes, and a nice car. But his wife started praying for him. He said that he would never go to church. And one morning, he was sitting at home watching a preacher on TV. The preacher preached the word of God. And Lorenzo, right there in his living room, asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. God got a hold of his heart. He came to the church. I began to disciple him and work with him, license him. And now he's pastoring several churches. The power of prayer, that when you fail to pray for other folk, you are putting them at a disadvantage. Samuel said, God forbid that I cease to pray for you. It's a sin for me to stop praying for the people around. Well, I just don't see any results. I wonder if my prayer, you know, I'm going to preach a message. I don't know when I'm going to preach it, but it's going to be on persistence prayer, that you need to be like a bulldog. You need to get a hold of God, and you just need to say, God, I'm going to keep my teeth on your glory robe until you bless me. You know, just hold on to God. Persistence in prayer. You know, I think of, let me share this with you. I was reading this study, and it was at the research done at San Francisco General Hospital. And they studied people who were victims of heart attacks, heart failure, and who had other cardiac problems. And they divided the people into two groups. There was 192 people in one group and 201 in the other group. The one that had 192 were prayed for. The one that had 201, they were not prayed for. Now, nobody knew, told them, you know, that this was going on. It was just something that was done behind the scenes. And they just prayed for this one group of people. Let me tell you what the results were. The researchers said that the results were dramatic. The prayed for group had significantly fewer complications than the unremembered group. And fewer members of the former died. The latter group was 5 times more likely to develop infections requiring antibiotics and 3 times more likely to develop a lung condition leading to heart failure. And these findings were published in the American Heart Association. So this lets us know that there is some, we can't explain it, but there is some unseen force that's at work when we pray. You know, we might not see the visible evidence. We might not see the life-changing experience like Norman Givens and Lorenzo Ruff, but we know that God is working. We know that, oh, bless his name. We know that when we pray, that God is unleashing his power on that situation, that God is pouring out his conviction, that God is putting obstacles in that person's life, that God is doing a work in the life of that individual as we pray for them. And so when we fail to pray, we are putting people around us at a disadvantage. You say that you love people. You say that you love your children. You say that you love your husband or your wife. You say that you love the people around you. And yet and still you fail to pray for them. You are putting them at a disadvantage. One thing I realize is that when God told Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham said, "Will you destroy it for 50? And God said, "No, I won't destroy it for 50. He said, "How about 40? And God said, "No, I won't destroy it for 40. And God and Abraham bargained all the way down to 10. And you know one thing I found out is that when Abraham stopped, God stopped. What's that saying? What was Abraham? We defined prayer as communicating with God. That's prayer, communicating with God. What was Abraham doing? He was communicating with God. He was praying. He said, "Lord, my nephew Lot is down there and his family. Are you going to destroy Lot with all the rest of them, God? Lord, if there's just 50 righteous down there, will you hold your wrath from the city?" And God said, "Yeah, I'll do that." And Abraham prayed God all the way down to 10. And that should show us something. That when Abraham stopped, God stopped. And when you stop praying for somebody, that doesn't mean that God is going to stop working. That don't mean God's going to stop working, but it means that he's not going to unleash his power as he would if there are folk praying for an individual. God will work in the lives of people, and God will move in the lives of people. But why did he give us prayer? Why did he give us intercessory prayer? He gave us intercessory prayer so that we could pray for others and pray the power of God down on their lives. The next thing that we see in the sin of prayerlessness, we see that prayerlessness is a sin because it is a sign of disobedience. Prayerlessness is a sin because it is a sign of disobedience. Luke 18:1 says, "Men ought to always pray and faint not." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." And if we are not praying, we are in sin. We're just being disobedient. And so sometimes we just need to raise our hand in the air and just be honest with God. You know, there's one thing I find out more and more. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. I've tried in the past. I've tried to sucker God. I've tried to slip by God. I've tried to sneak by him. I've tried to pull the wool over his eyes. But there's one thing I find out, you know, I can't do it. So sometimes, my brothers and sisters, it's just best to throw your hands up in the air and party hardy like you just don't care. Why? Because God knows. Because he knows. You can't fool him. And so sometimes we just need to say, not I'm too busy. Not, you know, too many distractions going on around me. Sometimes we just need to say, God, I'm just being disobedient. Let's be honest. You know, that's what confession is. Confession means to say what the truth is. Confession means to say the same thing that God has already said in his word. And it's a sin when we don't pray. And we just need to realize that we are being outright disobedient when we fail to pray. Samuel said, God forbid that I sin against the Lord in ceasing or in failing to pray for you. How's your prayer life? Are you praying? When was the last time you got down on your knees and cried out? Or when was the last time you stood up or sat at your desk and prayed? When was the last time? You know, and I'm going to do a message on all the questions about prayer. And somebody said, well, what posture should I take when I pray? And, you know, I read this here, and I thought it was very interesting. Let me find it here. It says, someone has vividly expressed this in a humorous little poem that reads the following. The proper way for man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. Nay, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and wrapped in upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austere clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing to the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's Well head first, said Sybil Brown, with both my knees and heels sticking up and my head pointing down. And I done prayed right then and there the best prayer I ever said. The praying I ever prayed the best was a standing on my head. What posture should you take? It don't make any difference what posture you take. Don't make any difference if you're kneeling down, laying on your back, crawled, spread out on your face, hands in the air. Don't just pray. Just pray. The sin of prayerlessness. And so he lets us know that prayerlessness is a sin because it snubs God's invitation. Prayerlessness is a sin because it indicates that our soul is sick. Prayerlessness is a sin because it puts those around us at a disadvantage. Prayerlessness is a sin because it's a sign of disobedience. Prayerlessness is a sin because it's a form of pride. Prayerlessness is a sin because it's a form of pride. Read with me the notes that I have there in this block. It says, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in brokenness to the Father for strength. He realized that he could not handle the weight of the cross unless God enabled him to do so. When we don't pray, we are telling God, I don't need you, and I can handle my life all by myself. However, we must be reminded apart from him, we can do nothing. When we humble ourselves and unite with him in prayer, he will empower us to do his will. If Jesus Christ, God's son, who was, this morning I met with the associates and we talked about the Trinity and we talked about homoousia, which means that God the Father and God the Son are of the same essence, the same substance, that whatever God is made out of, Jesus is made out of. And here if we have Jesus Christ, who is God of very God, and he's kneeling down and he's praying, Father, help me. Father, strengthen me. Father, I got to go through the cross. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through, that I can't make it without you. He calls on God, and he asks God to help him, and he asks God to give him strength. How much more should we as frail human beings who have all kind of imperfection and sin in our life, how much more should we be throwing ourselves on the altar and saying, Lord, help me. Help me every day, Lord. But why don't we do that? Because we can handle it ourselves. We can take care of it ourselves. And what is that? That's nothing but stinking pride. That's nothing but stinking pride. And God says that the reason that some folk don't pray, because what do they say? I got this. God, I got this. I don't need you. I don't need you to help me. I can handle this all by myself. And so your pride is keeping you from breaking yourself and falling down on your face before God. The songwriter said, Lord, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? That's a person right there. That's the prayer of a person that realizes that they need God. And this other songwriter said, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. Oh, come to me. That when we fail to pray, we are saying to God, I can do this by myself and I don't need you. The sin of prayerlessness. And finally, we see that prayerlessness is a sin because it leaves us vulnerable to other sins. Jesus, in the model prayer that he gave us, and he gave the disciples, he said, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Who are you talking to? Who are you saying that to? You're saying it to God. You're saying, God, don't lead me into temptation. Please, God, don't let me come to places where I'm tempted. And Lord, if I do find myself, deliver me from doing evil. Help me not to do the wrong thing. But if you're not praying, you're going to be susceptible to all type of temptation and evil. And Jesus further, he told the disciples in Luke 22:40, look what he said here. He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. See, the sin of prayerlessness can lead to other sins. How's your prayer life this morning? Are you guilty today of the sin of prayerlessness? We have no excuse. There's no excuse. We all come at the same ground. It don't make any difference if we're a millionaire or a pauper. It don't make no difference if we're the head of an organization or at the very bottom. It don't make any difference if we're strong or weak. When it comes to prayer, we all have the same time, we all have the same opportunity, and we all have the same occasion to pray. Now, the question is up to us. You know, are we going to be guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? I'm going to challenge, as I close this message, I'm going to challenge the congregation. There was something that I passed out at the leadership meeting, and I put it on the back of the notes. And I would ask that you put this on your prayer list, in your prayer journal. I put a nice little border around it. Maybe you can put it on your refrigerator, or maybe you can put it somewhere, or if you want to frame it and put it up. But this is a prayer that I'm going to ask that you would pray for Bethany Baptist Church. We don't want to have a church full of prayerless individuals. We don't want to have a church where the fires on the prayer altar are going out. We want to have a church that's filled with fire and passion. You know, as I sat here this morning, and as the heavenly hands and the group ministered to us, man, I saw fire I saw excitement. I saw people being moved in their spirits. And that's what we want here. We want the power of God to rest on this place. We want the fire of God to be on this place. And somebody said, man, if you get before God and you'll start praying and you pray, it says that God will set you on fire and somebody will come to watch you burn. When there's a fire, you ever see the TV cameras when there's a fire? What do you always see? People standing around. People standing around to watch a fire. And if our souls and our church has that fire, man, people be running to this place to catch some of that fire. You know, Jimi Hendrix said, I just have one burning desire. Let me stand next to your fire. That's all. We should have that desire to want to stand next to the fire of God's people. Oh, that once again, don't mean that this bunch of jumping and shouting and all that. If that happens, then that's one. But I'm just saying, if you can be quiet and meditative and still have the fire of God in you. But people will be attracted to that fire. Let's bow our heads. And I'm going to pray this prayer as we conclude our message today. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us draw near to you with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let your word dwell in us richly. Fill us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may live and conduct our lives in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing you, and being fruitful in every good work, and being renewed in the spirits of our mind, that we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with and forgiving one another, that we dwell together, Lord, oh God, that we dwell together in the unity of the faith, recognizing that those who labor among us, esteeming them highly in love for the work's sake, I pray, oh God, I pray, we all speak the same thing with no divisions among us, standing fast in one spirit, striving together in the faith, that we're not carried away with various and strange doctrines, but we study rightly dividing the word of truth, that we are not murmurers, complainers, walking after our own lusts, but are rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. I pray that the whole body be knit together and joined together, and that every part does its share, causing growth to the body. As each one has received the gift, let him minister it, looking out for the interest of others. Let us all fervently love one another with a pure heart, so that we do not lose the things we have worked for. Let us become serious and watchful in our prayers, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Running with endurance, oh God, running with endurance, the race that is set before us, setting our minds on things above and not on things of the earth, but pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, putting on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the devil, that we will speak forth your word with great boldness, and that you will stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this scripture-based prayer. And we pray that you would make each one of these points in this prayer a full reality in Bethany Baptist Church. Lord, that we would live out the mandates of this prayer and that we would become a church that's pleasing unto you where the Spirit of the Lord is. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the first half of Spiritual Warfare Prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Sin of Prayerlessness, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Sin of Prayerlessness, or program number 100113. That's 877-831-5060 and request The Sin of Prayerlessness, or program number 100113. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.